Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. After thus offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Transcendence, all the demigods with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva before them return to their homes in the heavenly planets. Purport. It is said, Adya piha chaitanya e sabha lila kare, yanra bhagye take se dakaye nirantare. This is a verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Majalila, chapter 23, verse 513. The incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear continuously, like the waves of a river or an ocean. There is no limit to the Lord's incarnations, but they can be perceived only by devotees who are fortunate. The devatas, the demigods, fortunately understood the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus they offered their prayers. Then Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma led the demigods in returning to their homes. The word kukshi gataha, meaning within the womb of Devaki, has been discussed by Sri Jiva Goswami in his Kramasandarbha commentary. Since it was said at first that Krishna was present within the heart of Vasudeva and was transferred to the heart of Devaki, Sri Jiva Goswami writes, how is it that Krishna was now in the womb? He replies that there is no contradiction. From the heart, the Lord can go to the womb, or from the womb, he can go to the heart. Indeed, he can go or stay anywhere. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5:35, Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The Lord can stay wherever he likes. Devaki, therefore, in accordance with the desire of her former life, now had the opportunity to seek the benediction of having the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son, Devaki Nandana. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So verse again. Sri Shuka Uvacha Itcha Bhishtu Yapurusham Yadrupam Manidamyata Brahmeshanu Purodaya Deva Pratiyayo Divam. After thus offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Transcendence, all the demigods with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva before them return to their homes in the heavenly planets. So, the first thing that Srila Prabhupada says in this purport is to quote a verse from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And that verse is Adya piha chaitanya e sabha lila kare yanra bhagye take se de kaya nirantare. So, what is the connection of that verse? So I looked it up in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and there is a purport to this verse. The translation to that verse, first of all, is Lord Chaitanya performs these pastimes even today, and one who is fortunate can constantly see them. So in Prabhupada's purport, he mentioned the word fortunate. There is no limit to the Lord's incarnations, but they can be perceived only by devotees who are fortunate. So it seems that the important point that Srila Prabhupada identified here was the fact is that if one is fortunate, you can constantly see the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And obviously not just Lord Chaitanya, but any of the incarnations, because he'd said before this, the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear continuously like the waves of a river or an ocean. There is no limit to the Lord's incarnations, but they can be perceived only by devotees who are fortunate. So seems to me that the important word here is fortunate. So we are hoping to be fortunate to see the Lord's pastimes, not just once, but constantly see them. So if we are actually seeing the Lord's pastimes constantly, we are definitely very, very fortunate. In fact, there's in the Maha Mantra, Gopal Guru Goswami, he's given some, this is given by Satchinandan Swami in his book, what's it called? Nama Rahasya, I think it's called. He gives the translations to some meditations that Gopal Guru Goswami gives to each line of the Maha Mantra. And also in Satchinandan Swami, not Satchinandan Swami, Shivaram Swami's book as well. He also gives his book, what's it, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. He also gives these meditations and translations coming from Gopal Guru Goswami. And in that, in the second half of the Maha Mantra, Hare Rama, he gives a meditation which is hey Hare, he says, please show me your most cherished pastimes with your most beloved, like that. And in fact, the next three words in the Maha Mantra are all on the same theme. The next one is, oh Rama, please show me your cherished pastimes with your most beloved. And then the next one is Hare. Oh Hare, meaning Radha. The first two actually are, please tell me of your cherished pastimes, in both cases. And then the next two, Hare and Rama, is, please show me your pastimes with your most beloved. So it's bona fide. Gopal Guru Goswami was the devotee who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with when he was just a small child. Seems that small children are very fortunate, sometimes, like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and Gopal Guru. Oh, he was just Gopal. And on one occasion, I don't know, was it Lord Chaitanya himself or was it another associate who went to relieve himself and held his tongue, because it was Lord Chaitanya himself, yeah. So, and he held his tongue because he says, oh, I just can't stop chanting Hare Krishna. And it's offensive. When he came back, he was saying this, you know, it's so offensive, I'm chanting Hare Krishna and also relieving myself. And Gopal Guru says, what are you talking about? It's always auspicious to chant the holy name of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with him and said, yes, you're right, you are Gopal Guru. And so from that time on, he was known as Gopal Guru. I don't know if he was called Goswami, but anyway, he was Gopal Guru. Because he was a guru. He was teaching, actually, Siddhanta truth. So this verse that Srila Prabhupada is quoting in the purport says, Lord Chaitanya performs these pastimes even today, and one who is fortunate can constantly see them. So when we're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if we're fortunate, we can see Radha and Krishna's pastimes, but also We can see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, which are also... Actually, I was just reading somewhere, I forget where, but actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, they mirror Lord Krishna's pastimes. And in fact, actually, in the last yatra from the Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple in Chapati, Mumbai, in Vrindavan, Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was actually doing that. He was taking every pastime of Krishna, and then he was telling a pastime, mirroring that in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So we can not only just remember Lord Radha and Krishna's pastimes, their most cherished pastimes. They may even show us those pastimes at some point when we qualified for them to feel inclined to reveal themselves. But also, we may also see and be told Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Although, in one sense, you could say we're in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. I think I've heard that said. Maybe somebody was saying that recently, that we're actually living in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Because Lord Chaitanya, he appeared only 500 years ago, and that's like a blinking of an eye. Well, for Mahavishnu, it's much less than the blinking of an eye. So we're in those pastimes. And also, I think somebody was saying yesterday, I think it was Kripa Moya Prabhu, that we're still in the early stages of ISKCON. We're fortunate to be so close to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to be in the missionary period of the spreading of the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement. I'll just read the purport to this Chaitanya Bhagavat verse. I'm not sure who's written the purport. Anyway, it's on Vedabase, so I think we can feel assured that it's bona fide. One cannot get a clear idea of an object of vision simply by seeing the middle portion of it. Living entities do not see the portions of the Supreme Consciousness that are covered by their propensity to enjoy. And as a result, all of Sri Chaitanya Deva's eternal pastimes remain covered from the eyes of ordinary people. Those who are free from the coverings of karma and jnana, and as such do not chase desires for either enjoying the fruits of their karma or for the will of the wisp of renouncing the fruits of their karma, can certainly always see the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya. The human beings' propensities for enjoyment and renunciation make them materially conditioned. When they become free from the clutches of such conditioning, they achieve the power to surpass the platforms of enjoyment and renunciation. Otherwise, according to mortal and temporary considerations, they develop the sinful thirst for equating the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya with the karma and jnana covered pastimes of human beings. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Sri Sri Gornitai ki jai. So that was the end of the purport. So the basic idea is that the first sentence is, one cannot get a clear idea of an object of vision simply by seeing the middle portion of it. Which reminds me of that story about the blind men trying to identify an elephant. Obviously, they were just seeing, one was holding the tail, thinking it was a rope. One was touching the side of the elephant, thinking it was a wall. Another was touching the trunk, thinking it was a snake, because none of them are seeing the whole picture. So what the purport to this verse is saying is that because we have a propensity to enjoy, or to the extent that we have a propensity to enjoy, we actually can't see the reality. We can't see the true picture. So to become fortunate blessed to be able to see the pastimes of the Lord in any of his many incarnations, we have to give up the propensity to enjoy the material world. And of course, that's what Krishna says right at the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, from verse 40 onwards, it's mostly just about just give up sense gratification, basically. Practically every verse is just saying, you know, be detached from the world. And even it's saying, don't get too attached to the Vedas. Because the Vedas, following the Vedas, you can also get attached to sense enjoyment. Because a lot of them are telling you how you can go to the heavenly planets and get elevated to the heavenly planets. So Krishna's even said, you know, that we should become transcendental to these three, the Vedas. So, and an interesting point also in this particular purport that just struck me, it says, those who are free from the coverings of karma and jnana, and as such do not chase desires for either enjoying the fruits of their karma or for the will of the wisp of renouncing the fruits of their karma, certainly always see the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya. So it's saying that even renunciation, because sometimes we think that, you know, we have to be so renounced, that renunciation is the path, is also mentioning jnana. So Govinda Prabhu was telling me yesterday that shlokas can be a prison. I didn't get a chance to question him more about that. Maybe we can discuss it more. But I think it just, maybe what he meant was that you can just get so hung up on shlokas, just the shlokas themselves, and not the meaning behind them, the import of those shlokas. You know, you're just completely, totally devoted to learning shlokas, and they do have a nectar actually to them. They are actually quite addictive when you really get into it. I've experienced that, but I love hearing shlokas like as well. But still, jnana, whether it's learning shlokas or anything, ultimately is meant to come to the point of renunciation. So that point is that renunciation of itself is not going to help us to see the pastimes of Radha and Krishna or Lord Chaitanya. Of course, renunciation is good. It's advised. We had a verse recently, Vairagya Vidya, Vairagya renunciation. But not of itself. There must be bhakti. There must be that love for Krishna. There must be a desire to serve Krishna, to serve his holy name, to serve his mission. And then renunciation just happens naturally. Of course, we do have to give up the material world. So that was one point in the purport about being fortunate. So actually, we are so fortunate. At first, I tend to have a negative turn of mind when I see things like that. But they can be perceived only by devotees who are fortunate. I think, oh no, I'm not fortunate, you know, like that. That's just my mental conditioning. You know, but actually we are, I was just then afterwards I managed to correct my thinking and think, actually we are so fortunate. Because firstly, as I already mentioned, Lord Chaitanya has only just been on this planet. How fortunate can we get that we're following in his footsteps practically. And we're so fortunate that he sent Srila Prabhupada and gave us so many auspicious items which make us fortunate. For instance, so many temples Kripa Maya Prabhu yesterday was also saying 1,000 locations, and not all temples, of course, but around the world. So actually we can go anywhere practically in the world and we can be with devotees. We can stay in a temple or a center. How fortunate is that? I mean, there are people outside working very hard, especially non-devotees, working very hard, even earning a lot of money, but they can't live the lifestyle of a devotee. Like when I say, oh, I was just in India for 4 months. What? 4 months? How do you do that? it's just inexplicable, because, I'm not earning any money. And I have a small pension, to be honest, but that's from previous work. But still, there's a freedom that comes with trying to become a devotee, which other people don't have. They are locked down, practically nailed down to their desks, or to their kitchen, or to their television set, just completely. And their expenses are so huge, massive, just for people to buy a house these days is a terrible burden for people. It costs them so much. And then all the things they put in the house, as well as the car to get from the house to wherever they're going, it's just everybody, their incomes are completely taken up. But those who are devotees, because they try to live a simple life, are free to travel, to get new experiences, and visit so many places of pilgrimage around the world. Like I was thinking, I've never been to America. Before, I never thought I wanted to go to America. But now I think, well, there's so many nice pastimes, like in New York, 26 Second Avenue. I could go and, visit 26 Second Avenue, or visit, all these temples, Los Angeles and things like that. So it's possible as a devotee. So we're so fortunate, actually. We're also so fortunate that Lord Chaitanya, he's imbued all his shakti, his potency in the holy name of the Lord, in the Sankirtan movement. We're so fortunate we have such beautiful deities, which you won't find practically anywhere else. I mean, I don't know, maybe you've seen other institutions with altars and deities as beautiful as in ISKCON, but I haven't. Although maybe some are starting to copy. I don't know. We are so fortunate. We have so many fortunate things. We have wonderful prasadam. Like I was taking some visitors around the day before yesterday. They were elderly English people, very intelligent, retired, very open-minded, and I was just talking about, we have prasadam here. And I was explaining what prasadam is. So we're so fortunate that we have prasadam. And of course, they got to get some maha prasadam. So they were very fortunate as well. And they also came and saw the deities. And they said, wow, it's so beautiful. Like that. So this is actually our process, to be fortunate and to try to share that fortune with everybody else. And that is also our good fortune, to be able to share that fortune with others. Because actually I was reading also recently in Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it was in the seventh canto, where Srila Prabhupada, where Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm okay. I don't have any problems. Because I'm always thinking of you and your pastimes, and he's talking to Nrisimhadev. But I'm just sorry for all these fools and rascals who are, suffering in this material world. And in the purport, I think it's to that verse, Srila Prabhupada said, actually it's very difficult for us to transcend the modes of material nature unless we're sharing our fortune with others. It's part of a very integral part of our process to share this great fortune that we have. Um, Srila Prabhupada mentions about the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear continuously like waves of a river or an ocean. And that's coming from Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 26, which says, O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. And in the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada mentions lots of different incarnations and explains more about, and also mentions about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it says, actually, they are not incarnations, but they are the original source of all other incarnations. There was one other point in the, which I haven't really got time to get into, but in the purport, the second paragraph is talking about Kukshi Gataha. And Prabhupada mentions that Jiva Goswami mentions there may be a doubt in someone's mind that originally Krishna was present within the heart of Vasudeva and was transferred to the heart of Devaki. And so how is it that now Krishna was not in the womb? Is now in the womb, sorry. And because I look back over the chapter, and it never says that he then went from the heart of Devaki to her womb. So therefore, Jiva Goswami is just addressing this point. But then he says, actually, there's no contradiction. From the heart, the Lord can go to the womb, or from the womb, he can go to the heart. He can go anywhere he likes. So that was the final point that Srila Prabhupada brought up. Although that wasn't in the verse, but... So, of course, the important point is that actually the Lord is never limited. He's not. He doesn't take birth because he's forced to, like we do. Forced to take to be placed in a womb. So that's just another aspect of it. He's there out of his own internal pleasure potency. I think that's mentioned somewhere, not in this purport, maybe earlier in this chapter, that the Lord, he appears in the womb out of his own pleasure potency. So he can appear in the heart, the head, the womb, anywhere. But it's not because he's forced to, it's because he wants to. It's his pleasure to do that. And for the pleasure of Devaki, for the benefit of all living entities. So we have a couple of minutes if there's any questions or comments.